Okay, so we continue our study in Hebrews chapter 11. 2 weeks ago, Julie came and she shared. We had an opportunity to take our four grandchildren to Disneyland, so that was a blast. And they're teenagers now, and boy, is there a difference between taking teenagers to Disneyland and little toddlers and school-age kids. It's fun all the way around, but the car ride was really different listening to Christian rap and hip-hop. By the time you get there, you're just, I am not used to that at all. So that was really that started that trip off just like, okay, here we go. And then we let the kids take the lead and we followed them. So we came back absolutely exhausted. And then we walked in the kitchen, and unfortunately our kitchen faucet had developed a leak while we were gone. And so the underneath the sink was completely soaked, drywall, it was bad. So early the next morning, we had men there doing what they do, and brought in a huge fan and a dehumidifier this tall and this big. I have a very small kitchen, and there it sat for 1 week running. So after the rap music and the fan, it was just like, they finally took it away on Saturday, and it was like, honey, listen. There's nothing. Just quiet. So we're still not put back together. But you know what? These things happen. And it's just like, okay, whatever. Whatever. So anyway, Julie did a great job on Joseph's life. You think about Joseph, you could do multiple studies on his life. And here we are looking at Moses' life tonight, and you can do multiple studies on Moses' life. So how in the world, and what in the world do you say and not say? Moses, when I think about Moses, you think about his life from the beginning to the end, and he knew God, and he walked with God, and he faithfully lived by faith all the days of his life. And even though he was not in the place of his choosing, the calling, the occupation, the responsibility with that was not what he would have chosen, he was faithful in it. And Moses forsook all, and he endured, and he followed after God, because he didn't look at his circumstances. He didn't look really to get out of his circumstances. I mean, he did initially. But he looked to him who is invisible, because faith sees what the eye cannot see. So beginning in verse 23 tonight in Hebrews 11, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. So we got to give an overview of all of this. So the children of Israel, as you saw when we studied Joseph, they were in Egypt. And they were in Egypt for 430 years. And during that time, they multiplied and they were fruitful. There was over 300 years from the time of Joseph's death and Moses' birth. And a new Pharaoh came into power who did not know who Joseph was, did not care who Joseph was. All he saw was these Hebrews multiplying and God's favor upon their lives, and he saw them as a threat. And so he didn't want them to take over his kingdom and his people, so they forced them into slavery and slave labor, and he was very harsh to the children of Israel. And Pharaoh went even as far as, I don't want any male children to be born. So he tried to force the Hebrew midwives during the birth, if it was a boy, kill it. And if it's a girl, you can let her live. And now, as you know the history, you know the account that the Hebrew midwives feared God over Pharaoh, and they wouldn't do it. They did not. So then we have Moses' parents, which are brought up in Hebrews 11. Here, Moses' parents, she delivers, and this baby boy, they had a sense, and somehow the Lord spoke to their hearts. Somehow they knew there's something special. There's a call on this little baby's life. God's presence is strong here. He has a plan and he has a purpose for him. So they hid Moses for 3 months, and hiding a newborn is not an easy thing. And then, as you know the history, you know the account, there came a point in time where you can't hide him any longer. And so Moses' mom made that little basket. This is the first Bible story I had ever heard. And I went to church one or two times as a child, and that was it. And I was 4 years old, and I remember this story. God's word doesn't return void. So she made that little basket and put her little baby in that and covered him, put him in the river among all the papyrus leaves, the stalks and all that. And then his older sister Miriam stood by to watch what would happen. Pharaoh's daughter came out to bathe with her maidens, and they heard a little cry and they saw the basket. They went over there to say, oh, look at that cute little baby. It must be one of the Hebrews. Oh, I can't get rid of him. Oh, I'll take him to be my son, and I'll raise him. And Miriam came out, oh, well, won't you need someone to nurse him? I happen to know just the person. And so she hired Moses' mom to take him, to nurse him, to take care of him until he was weaned. So during that time, as a good mama would do, prayed over that boy and loved that boy and talked to him all about the Lord and God's people and just poured into his life. And it doesn't matter how old they are, God can make them, that word go deep within their heart. And so then she had to give him over to Pharaoh's daughter. And I mean, this is Pharaoh's daughter. This is the king of Egypt, the wealth, the power, the luxury and the palace and the whole thing. And Moses was raised in that house, mansion, whatever you want to call it, all of his life. He was there for, well, not all of his life, but, you know, all of his growing up, till he was 40 years old. That's a long time to be around luxury and all the wisdom and the worldly ways of, and the religious everything in Egypt. If you turn over to Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was just before he was stoned and he gave his, preached the gospel to the Pharisees, he spoke about Moses. He was kind of giving the history of Israel. In verse 17, he said, but when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they may not live. At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. He was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed, and he struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand. But they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another?" But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" Then, this saying, Moses fled and became a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. So somehow, Moses knew, there's a call on my life. I'm here to help God's people, my people. Even though he was raised as an Egyptian, there's something, somehow God communicated that with him, put it in his heart. So he went out to see. Had he gone out before? You know, who knows? But he went out on that particular day. But he went about it all the wrong way. He just, like most of us do, where we just figure, okay, well, you lean to your own understanding and you just take a step and there you go. And it's all wrong. He just thought, I'll just come right out there and then they'll all be with me and we can, you know, rise off and go off to the promised land and live happily ever after. But it did not work out that way. So as we just read, you know what happened. And when, you know, he could have gone to Pharaoh to plead his case with him and say, okay, this is what happened and blah, blah, blah. And maybe things would have turned out a lot different, but he didn't do that. Back in Hebrews, it tells us that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had cut the ties. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So at that moment, he cut off all ties, all the wealth. Can you imagine? Anything he wanted, luxury, the abundance of food and whatever else those Egyptian people all did back then, you know, when you watch the old Cleopatra movie or whatever. And he gave it all up and he took off and he ended up in the land of Midian. There he got married. He had two sons. And for the next 40 years, he tended his father-in-law's sheep in the desert. So all this wealth, this power, he could have been groomed for the next Pharaoh, who knows, certainly on his cabinet. And he gave that all up then to be a shepherd. And there weren't even his sheep. It was his father-in-law's sheep. One day, kind of at the end of that 40-year period of time, so here Moses is 80 years old, God revealed himself to Moses in a burning bush. You're on the backside of the desert. There's not a whole lot to do. He's seen everything there is to see out there for the last 40 years, but all of a sudden, something new, a bush that is burning, that is not burning up. God had revealed himself, had called Moses, saying, I've seen the affliction, I've heard the cries of my people, and I have come down to deliver them. And I want you, Moses, to lead my people out of Egypt into the promised land. And Moses didn't want to go. He made up every kind of excuse there was. I don't know how to lead. I don't know how to talk. I'm going to stumble over my words. We had just read in Acts chapter 7 that he was learned in all of the wisdom of Egypt. He was an aristocrat. He Too many Disney movies. He knew how to talk to people. He knew how to give a speech or whatever it might be. But those 40 years in the desert humbled him, stripped him of all of his resources and all of his man-made, self-made accomplishments, and brought him to that low place in life and in his own heart. Because he was in the backside of the desert, we often refer to that as your BSD, your backside of the desert degree. Because he was out there, and in that hard, dry school, where the Lord can speak, where the Lord can work to get him to a place that he can use him in a very mighty way so that God gets the glory and not Moses. Oh, that's because Moses knows how to give a speech. That's because Moses knows how to be around those people. Moses is a strong leader. No, there's none of that. It's because God worked in his life, humbling him 40 years out there wandering around tending these sheep and getting him to that place. And Moses didn't want to go. He was a reluctant leader all of his life. All of the time of his ministry, of time of the call in his life, he was reluctant. He didn't want to be in that place and in that position. Yet he was faithful, and by faith he walked with the Lord and fulfilled the call that God had on his life. God was not happy with his reluctance. In fact, it said that he was angry with Moses, and he said, okay, your brother Aaron is coming. I'll let him be your mouth. He can be your spokesperson. I'm going to talk to you, Moses, and then you tell him, and he can tell Pharaoh. He can tell the people. And God allowed that. And so, as you know, Moses went back into Egypt with his brother Aaron, and he talked to the elders of the people and said, this is what we're going to do. God said he's going to bring these plagues on, that we're going to ask Pharaoh to let us go to sacrifice to the Lord our God. He's not going to let us. God's going to do these miracles, and then everything will be fine. And so they said, okay. And you know the account. We don't have time for that. All the plagues where God shows himself very strong. All the miracles that, everybody sees. And the land, at the end, the land of Egypt was just devastated. I mean, there's death and corruption, and the crops are wiped out. And by that time, even Pharaoh, with his very, very hard heart, let the people go. And before they went, God gave Moses that instruction that before you go, and before I wipe out the firstborn of every household in Egypt, you need to take a lamb, you need to sacrifice the lamb, you need to take the blood from the lamb, and you need to put it on the doorpost and the lintel of your house in the shape of a cross. And when I see the blood, then I will pass over. In Exodus 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And by faith, Moses gave that instruction to the people. And by faith, him and the people sacrificed their lambs, put the blood on the door, stayed in their homes while that angel went out destroying. But because of the blood, which of course is a foreshadowing of Jesus, passed over and they were saved. Then Moses was able to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And by this time, they estimate there's somewhere between 1 million to 2 million people That's just a lot of people to be leading and overseeing, and they all went. And then in verse 29 of Hebrews, it said, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. So here they are going, they stop at the Red Sea. So the Red Sea is in front of them, but Pharaoh's army, he followed them. So 600 chariots and all his armies are behind them, and they're stuck. Pharaoh's army's here. You've got almost 2 million people in front of the Red Sea. There's no way out in their eyes. And the people cried out. And they were angry against Moses for leading them into this impossible situation. But by faith, Moses said to them, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Love those verses. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't be afraid. So by faith, Moses is speaking this to the people. Now God knows what's in a heart because God replied to Moses right after that. Why do you cry out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. So he's saying this by faith, and he's at the same time crying out to the Lord, how are we going to get out of here? You know, you got to do this. He's saying, hey, don't just stand there. Move forward, because we never go back. Don't retreat. Move forward. And God parted that Red Sea, and Moses was able to lead them through on dry ground. Moses was a leader full of faith. And we've been learning about faith through Hebrews 11, and I hope the Lord has stirred your hearts and that you are thinking more on that faith. And during the day where you know you're going to take that step, that the Lord brings that to your remembrance. Okay, this is a faith thing. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm not afraid. I've been learning about all these men that are just strong in the faith, and I want to be like that. So I hope that's what's going on in your life through this series. But it has in mine, and I need it. I need the reminder, and I love that. It's just right in the forefront of my mind. So for the next now 40 years, so Moses is 80, and 40 more years on top of that, he leads the children of Israel in the wilderness. So for 40 years, they wander around in the wilderness. It physically would only take a week for them to get into the promised land. But you know, again, the history, you know the account, that it wasn't because of Moses' lack of faith. It was the children of Israel. It was their lack of faith, their fear, their disobedience to the Lord, that they would not go in and fight when it was time to go in and to take possession of the land. They wouldn't do it. And so God said, okay. So you sent those spies out for 40 days. And so for 40 years, you're going to wander around this wilderness. All of you, the adults in at that time, you're afraid for your kids, so you wouldn't step out in faith. You're going to die in this wilderness, and it'll be your children that will, by faith, go in and take the land. So for 40 years, Moses, who didn't want to lead them in the first place, is now with them for 40 years, walking a walk, living a life of faith. Of faith. And you can be with 1 million to 2 million people and feel all alone. And as Moses, as you know his life, if you've read through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and you know Moses, or if you've studied his life, you know, time and time again, he hit resistance from the people, and he was alone. But he walked by faith. He believed in the Lord. For 40 years, he depended on God for his, not only his next meal, but for the almost 2 million people that followed him and were in his care. Depended on God by faith for God's daily provision for them. By faith, depended on God's protection for them. Each step of the way, that 40 years, was a step of faith for Moses. And we're all called to walk by faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. Moses had faith in the face of idolatry right early on when he's on the mountain with God. And God's giving him the law, giving him the commands. And the children of Israel had already said, yes, we're going to do whatever God says for us to do. And Moses came back down. They had already made a golden calf, an idol, and were partying and worshiping this golden calf right in the face of this idolatry. Moses continued with his faith. He had faith in the face of rebellion. His own sister and brother, Aaron and Miriam, rose up against him and said, wait a minute. Why do you think God only talks to you? What about us? Well, that didn't go too well for either one of them. But Moses continued by faith. And, he interceded for the people by faith. And then later, Korah and all his company, again, they rose up against Moses and said, who do you think you are? Why do you think you're in charge? Why do you think only the Levites should be able to do this? You know, and just on and on, this resistance, rejection, people wanting to stone him several times. I mean, there's no gratitude, no thankfulness whatsoever. It's come 40 years of, why did you take us in the wilderness? We don't have anything to eat. We don't have anything to drink. You know, on and on and on. And yet Moses, by faith, continued to walk with God and fulfill his call as a leader. In the face of war, Moses stood by faith. You remember when he was up on that mountain, raising his hands, a sign of intercession, while Joshua was down there, you know, fighting those armies, and Moses got tired and he let his arms down. Every time his arms went down, then the enemies rose up, and so Aaron and Hur lifted his arms up to support him, and you know, just that life of faith. And then Moses even had faith in believing God's holiness. Now, God is a very holy God. He is righteous and he is holy and he is to be feared. And there was a time that Moses failed. And God had told Moses, the people were complaining again because they were thirsty, and Moses had had it with those people. And he was angry. And God said, I want you to go out and speak to the rock. Years before, he had told him to strike the rock, and I will bring forth water, and he did. Now, the second time, God said, I want you to speak to the rock. And because he had compassion on the people, and he'll provide the water. And Moses, he didn't hear that part. And he was angry, and he went out, and he struck the rock, which is the type of Christ. Struck the rock a second time. God, in his graciousness, let water come out. But he said to Moses, this isn't very nice. It's not fair. Moses, I'm sorry. You cannot go into the promised land. You misrepresented me. I wasn't angry with the people. And you have no clue. He didn't say this, but in a sense, he said this. You have no clue what this represents. This is my son. He was only struck once. And not again. And you've ruined that type, and you can't go in. But even in that, there was no complaint. He just by faith, okay, Lord, okay, I believe that you are holy. I believe that you are righteous. I believe in your promises. And though I will not experience the fulfilled promise of going into the promised land, I will walk by faith right up until the very end, and I will lead your people. So much can be learned from Moses' life. Maybe some of us today, we're in a place where, just like Moses when he was in Pharaoh's house, maybe an Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. So when we refer to going back to Egypt, we're talking about going back into the world as a Christian. Maybe we are getting lured once again to the ways and the pleasures of the world, and we need to refuse the pleasures of Egypt, refuse the world, and choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God if necessary. We need to choose to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And maybe today we need to burn some bridges. Sometimes when you come to the Lord, in your zeal, you do that just naturally, and you're just strong. You burn those bridges and everything. But after you've walked with the Lord for a while, you can kind of let your guard down, and you know how the enemy works. And you know that this world is getting so bad. And you know that analogy of the frog, that if you take a frog and you throw it into a pot of boiling water, that frog is going to jump out of there. And that's, you know, we become born again and we love God that he's delivered us from all this, and all of a sudden we see all this sin and all the bad, and we just, you know, we jump out of that boiling water. We don't want to even get near that boiling water. But if you take that same frog and you put them in a nice temperature of water, and you turn that heat up and you slowly bring the water up to a boil, that frog gets nice and cozy and it will boil to death. And that happens to us as Christians. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with the Lord. We are all susceptible to that. And we have to be on guard and we have to be careful. But maybe that's you tonight. Maybe the Lord's speaking. Maybe there's one or two little areas of your life where you're kind of going back to those pleasures you miss, the leeks, the garlic, the whatever it is of Egypt. And we need to burn that bridge once again, because burning bridges, the Lord is pleased by that step of faith. Tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:17, to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And he's calling us. You know, what I have for you is so much better than what Egypt can offer. Look at Moses. I mean, he gave up the wealth, the power, the position to go to the backside of the desert. But what he learned there, that's eternity. That's stuff for eternity. All this other stuff's going to burn. You know, we all know that. And that's why the Bible calls it that passing pleasure of sin. It's, sin is pleasurable, but only for a little bit of time. So maybe tonight, the Lord's saying, come out. Come out from among them and be separate. I'm your father. Let me provide. Let me give you what you truly need and what is satisfying. Or maybe you are in a dry time, the backside of the desert. And we all go through those dry times. But sometimes they can be a long dry time. And sometimes, maybe it's dry, but maybe it's just seems like you're wasting time. Like, I'm not getting anywhere. I know the Lord has something for me, but I feel like I'm wasting time. I don't, you know, I'm not doing much. I'm tending my father-in-law's sheep. I'm not doing much. But yet what the Lord's doing in your heart, in your life at that time, is priceless. The backside of the desert, those dry times, that's the time, that's the place where we learn to walk by faith and not by sight and not by feeling, by emotion. Now we, all of us, and I think especially women, we like the emotion, we like the feeling. I like to feel the presence of God. I like to have this feeling quiet time and this feeling time of fellowship with you, you know, I want to feel everything and know. But faith, that's not necessarily faith, because I can see that, I can feel that. Walking by faith, not by sight. I'm going to walk with you, Lord. I'm going to do this. I'm going to trust you in this dry time. I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do during this dry time, which means I'm supposed to be in the Word. I am supposed to be in prayer. I am supposed to be in fellowship. I am supposed to worship, and I am supposed to do what you've called me to do, even if it feels dry and I can't see. I'm going to learn to walk by faith and get my BSD. I don't know how many BSDs that you have. I've lost count of how many times I've been on the backside of the desert. Philippians 2:13 says, it's God who is working in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He's working during those dry times. Philippians 1:6, he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it. So if you're in that dry time and you're not feeling anything and you're just, it's like, oh, all this time and nothing's happening, he is working. Remember that he, while we wait, he works. And then Romans 28:28 and 29, we know that all things, even the backside of the desert, all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And in those times, he is conforming us. Look at what he did in Moses. 40 years. But he was the meekest man on earth. And what God entrusted to him to lead his people out, he gave him the law. He gave him his command. He revealed all his truth to him and his ways. You know, the book of Leviticus, which can be hard for us to read through, but it is so detailed in how God wants us to live and how he wanted them, because he was taking them out of Egypt, out of all the Egyptians' wisdom and their ways, saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about hygiene. This is this. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about relationship. We're going to talk about animals. We're going to talk about clothing. We're going to talk about all these things in detail. And he revealed all that to Moses, all that. And it didn't go to his head, because he had humbled him and got him to that place. So maybe that's you. Maybe you're in a really dry time. Who knows what the Lord is going to do, speak to you and do through you. Who knows what he has on the other side of this? It's going to be good. Maybe today you are in a place that you would not choose to be, like Moses. Moses, I have this call for you. This is what I want you to do. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. There are reasons for everything. Maybe you're in that place. It could be a lifestyle that you are in that is not your choosing. I don't want to live on this level, and whatever that means in your own mind, you can fill in the blanks. Maybe you're in a relationship that wouldn't be your first choice, but it was a choice at one time, and now you are in that place, and it's hard, and you would rather not be in there. Or maybe there's a circumstance, and we all find ourselves in circumstances that we do not want to be in. This is not what we would choose. We don't want to do this. Something that's too hard or too much of a hassle or too painful. And we just want to say, no, Lord, no. I know you're calling me to this, but can't somebody else go through this? Can't somebody else, you know, can't you fix this? Whatever it might be. And so if you're in that place, how do you or how will you navigate through that? Will you by faith, or will you by Jonah and the way he responded to God's call, where Jonah heard God's call, didn't want to do it, and he just went completely in the other direction and fled. Now, you know that didn't go well for him. Other times, people can fight every step of the way. They're going to fight God's call and make life miserable for everybody around them and for themselves. Or will you, like Moses, by faith, obey, accept, this is what you've called me to, this circumstance, this lifestyle, this relationship, this ministry, this job, this whatever it might be. And I'm going to do my very best in this circumstance and with what you've called me to, and I'm going to be faithful to you. That's faith. That is living by faith in that circumstance. Even Jesus, he prayed to the Father, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Galatians 2:20, I love it. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I love that, just to say it over and over again in a circumstance that I don't want to be in. I am crucified with Christ, but I live, and I live through him, and this is what he has for me. And I want my faith to please him in this. Or maybe you are in an impossible situation where Pharaoh's army is behind you and the Red Sea is in front of you. There is no way out. It just seems absolutely impossible to you. But grab a hold of those verses in Exodus where Moses speaks and says, God will fight for you. God will fight for me. He will fight for me. I'm going to step out in faith in this situation, whatever he's telling me to do. And I'm going to then stand still and see his salvation. The Lord has given me that section of verses two different times in my life in two terribly hard circumstances, painfully hard circumstances. And yet he came in and he just, you know how he does? And I love this. You're just minding your own business. And all of a sudden that verse or a verse comes into your heart and your mind. You're not even necessarily praying for that particular thing at that minute. But you know, when you hear that verse, that's it. He's speaking to me. He's speaking this promise to me. Maybe he did that to you tonight when I read it earlier. Wow, that's a promise. He's speaking that. Now, I don't know how long that's going to take, but he's telling me not to be afraid. He's telling me he is fighting for me, and he's telling me to stand still and watch his salvation, to watch him bring me through. And by faith, I need to believe that God will bring me safely through, and he will. He will. What doesn't matter what circumstance you're in, he will bring you safely through. Faith believes what it cannot see. Deliverance and salvation will come. 40 years wandering in the wilderness with that promise of the promised land, holding on to that promise. 40 years is a long time to wait. A long time. And maybe you are in that place where the Lord has given you a promise and it's been a long time. And, you know, 2 days can be a long time to some of us. And then 2 years and 20 years and on can be a very long time. But in the light of eternity, it's not that long. But by faith, we need to trust that God is in control. And he will provide and he will take care while I wait for that fulfillment of that promise. And by faith, I need to believe that he knows what is best. In every circumstance, in every way, he knows what is best. And I don't understand it, and it just doesn't look like it should be going that way, but I know he knows what he's doing. And so by faith, I need to believe, and I need to believe that God will provide, and he will protect, and he will direct, and that his promise will come to pass, even if I don't see it. And Moses did not. God allowed him to take a peek, and he took him up to the mountain. He had already kind of passed the baton on to Joshua to become the next leader. And he took him up to the mountain and he showed him the promised land. And there Moses died, and God took him and buried him. So Moses just got to see a peek of the promise. He didn't get to experience it. But he believed that whether he was going to see it or not see it, or experience it or not experience it, he knew what's going to happen. And so too with us. We need to believe that in whatever that thing is that we're holding on to see that promise come to pass. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. All the promises are yea and amen. And we honor the Lord and we please the Lord with our faith when we obey, when we do what he's called us to do, whether we want to do it or not, whether we feel it, whether we see it or not. Faith does it anyway. Faith walks with the Lord, continues to walk with the Lord, and faith faithfully waits on the Lord. So Moses lived by faith, very faithful to God, faithfully by faith all the days of his life, because he believed who God was, believed his word, his promises. He forsook all, endured everything, and he followed the Lord, following him who he couldn't see, but he looked to the reward. So whatever place, circumstance that you are in or that I am in, I want to grow. Don't you want to grow in your faith? He gives me plenty of opportunity to grow in my faith and to say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. There's nothing I can do. Remember that I am in charge of no one and in control of nothing. And I remind myself, in fact, just a little while ago today, I reminded myself of that in a very little hard situation. And I had to walk away and say, I'm in charge of no one. I am in control of nothing. And Lord, I'm going to honor you and I'm going to trust you in this. And this is real hard. I don't want to see this. And I don't want to let my mind go where it can go. But I'm going to trust you in this. Don't you want to grow in your faith like that? To see him a little clearer, to have a better, clearer vision of who he is, though he is invisible. I want to see him more and more. And I want to believe in my heart, and you believe in your heart, and confess with your mouth God's truth and his faithfulness to you. He is and always will be faithful to you and faithful to me. And Lord, thank you for the truth and the strength of your word. Oh, where would we be, Lord? But we can stand firm on your word, your truth, on your faithfulness. And while we have our eyes closed, just if there is something in your life, something he spoke to you tonight that you need to lay at his feet, just take this moment to do that, to confess that to him, to give it to him. And to tell him, I trust you. I trust you in this. Father, we believe. Help us with our unbelief. Help us in these areas that we are struggling in. Help us to let go, to allow you to be who you are, strong and mighty. Father, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your hand that is upon us. And Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to be faithful to the end, just like Moses. So take these things, these truths of your word, these truths that you've spoken to our hearts tonight, Lord. Help them to settle in our hearts and in our minds. I pray that you'd help us to apply these things and live them out. And Lord, because of you, we can go out with joy. Praise you, praise you, praise you for who you are, how great you are, Lord. Would you bless my sisters? Would you help them to fix their eyes upon you, Lord, and let heaven fill their thoughts? Give them the wisdom that they need in the decisions that they need to make, Lord. I pray that you would empower them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Pray that the fruit of your Holy Spirit would flow through their lives. Thank you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And if you need prayer for anything, there'll be women up here as always.